For those of you that I haven't met, my name is Chris. I get to be a part of this amazing team. And I just want to say welcome to all of our first-time guests, everyone watching online. And I am so excited that I get to share with you about one of the best people you will ever get to meet in your life. And that is the person of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what your relationship is like with him at this moment, whether he is someone that you are fearful of because you've seen things that are a little bit strange and bizarre, where people do crazy things in the name of the Spirit, or you just don't understand, therefore you don't engage. But hopefully by the end of tonight, you will have a correct and better understanding of who the person of the Holy Spirit is. Because when you approach him, when you walk with him, when you live your life with him, there's a boldness on you, there is a greatness on you, there is success upon your life, there is a faith and a peace and a joy that can rise up that can never be understood by mere mortal understanding. And so I would encourage you, lean in tonight. And I also pray and I trust that the Holy Spirit take what I'm gonna say tonight and make it personal for you in your circumstance. I don't know what you're going through. I do not know what everybody in this room is dealing with, but the person of the Holy Spirit, I was praying earlier on today and I realized that he knows our thoughts, he knows our hearts, he knows what's gonna come out of our mouth. There is nobody better that knows us. So lean into the power of the Holy Spirit tonight so that you can receive what you need to receive. Can everybody say amen? Amen. So we have just finished one of the most amazing series that we've done here, I think, just around Jesus. Because sometimes we talk about Jesus and we say he's here and he's Lord, and but actually taking 4 or 5 weeks to really go through his life and his ministry was and is incredibly significant. And he was a mighty man. He was born to a virgin, and he stepped down out of heaven and out of all the glory that he had to be born into that manger. And the Holy Spirit was there in that moment in conception and making those things happen. But this man was born, and he lived an ordinary life for the first little bit. He was a son, and he did what he needed to do. And I'm sure if he had school, he'd have had good grades, but he lived a life. And then for 3 years, he did something so significant that we're all sitting in this room and billions of people all around the world for those last 2,000 years' lives have forever been altered because of those 3 years. And that man said these words in John 14, "Loving me empowers you to obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live inside you." Then further on in verse 23, it says, Jesus replied, "Loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak my own revelation, but the words of my Father. I am telling you this while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name, and he will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you." And I think hearing those words, understanding now that was the last supper that Jesus had in his mortal life. That was the last time where he got to sit down and break bread with his disciples. And he took that moment. He hadn't ever really shared about the Holy Spirit up until this point because he was there. He didn't need to point them to what was next because he was there. He was in front of them. He was guiding them. He was teaching them all things. He was the friend that they needed. But he was also one man. And he was born in a time without Wi-Fi. For some of you young people, you won't know what that was ever like, but there was a time where you couldn't just look at the internet on your phone. All the old people can say amen, hey? So he was born in a time when actually his reach was limited by his personhood. He was only able to impact and to have a relationship with so many people because he didn't have the opportunity to Instagram his highlight message or to put a story out of the great things or a TikTok video that demonstrated the things that he was doing. He needed to interact with people. So he knew he knew that in order for the move to go through the earth as he had predicted, somebody else needed to come who was as capable, but not limited by personhood in that sense, that could be with us in all days, all seasons, and all moments. And that's why Jesus had the boldness to say, I need to wait and step out of the way now and let this person come. Sorry, I always say this, but I always get dry throat. So the other thing to realize is that he is not some strange weirdo. Okay, so sometimes, I don't know about you, but when you think of the Holy Spirit, you just start to get this thought of, I don't know, like a wisp of smoke or Casper the Ghost, as Uncle Graham mentioned this morning, or just something weird and odd and something that you can't really understand or think or put your finger on, but something that doesn't really make sense. But then at the same point, I have to arrest my heart when I start to think like that, because the Jesus that I serve wouldn't have supported somebody like that. He would only be sending us someone or be stepping out of the way so that someone else could step into our lives that would be wonderful and mighty and loving and supportive and not weird. Okay, the Holy Spirit is not odd. He's not a ghost. He's not controlling. He is a gentleman that waits and asks and speaks and nudges, but he doesn't control. And if you ever meet somebody who says, I have no control when they're in the Spirit, they're not being controlled by the Spirit that I'm talking about tonight. The Holy Spirit that I'm talking about tonight, we always have control. We have control to use or not use the fruits. We have control to use or not use the gifts. We have control. He does not take over. We are not possessed by the Holy Spirit. We are in friendship with the Holy Spirit. And so never be frightened to invite him in. Never be cautious to accept him or to invite him or to speak to him, because he is the God that is here and present with us now. So if you choose to ignore him or disobey him, then actually the God that lives around and on the earth and does all the great things, you're cutting off your supply. You're cutting off the relationship and your ministry and the gifts and the fruits that will blossom on your life. Now, who here has ever had a nickname? Yeah? So I was once called Noddy for many years. I don't know if you know who Noddy is, but he had a strange hat. I didn't wear a hat, but he had big ears. So I'm thinking that the people that called me Noddy were suggesting something about the size or shape of my ears. But sometimes we have lots of names, hey? We have names and labels and things that people call us, and sometimes they're with the best of intentions, but sometimes they're not. And one thing that I've realized when people often talk about the Holy Spirit is we refer to him as an it. That we don't even give him a name anymore. And that we talk about the Father and we talk about the Son and we give reverence to both of those. But yet somehow, the third part of the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity, the one that's here on earth with us, we dumb down and call him an it. Somehow making him like an object or a pet, or something that you can put in your pocket and carry around with you, like a pen or a mobile phone. But he is none of those things, and he deserves to be called the name by which he holds, because that name has a title, and it is a word, and that the Holy Spirit that speaks about who he is, that he is a spirit, but he is holy. So never, ever shrink back from calling him by his due name. But I want to understand tonight that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, he is not the same as you and I, clearly. Has anybody seen the Holy Spirit? Just show of hands. No. Okay. So the Holy Spirit does not have arms and legs. He doesn't wander and walk in the same way that we do. He is a spirit, but he is nonetheless a person. He is not bound by physical form. He doesn't need to be in one place, in one moment, at one time. He can be everywhere, all at the same time, in many people, in many spheres, having different conversations with different people, all at the same time, because he is not bound in the same confines as you and I are. He does not bleed. He does not have arms and legs, and he doesn't go through some of the bodily functions that we do, but that doesn't make him any less a person. Because animals do some of the things that we can do. They walk on legs, they bleed, they have brains, but they're not people. We don't have conversations and emotional relationships with animals and different creatures like that. People it's about what we get from them. It's about the friendship that we can have. It's about the back and forth dialogue that we can have. It's about the intimacy that we can see with and for this person. So the Holy Spirit is a person. And I want to explain to you why I believe that he is a person. And I may not be right, but I'm holding the microphone, so we're going to go with it. So the first thing is, the Holy Spirit speaks and teaches. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And John 14:26 again says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, we have lots of clever devices in our modern day, and so things like your iPhone can teach you to a degree, and the words on pen on paper can teach you, but that doesn't mean to say that they are a teacher. There's a difference between someone who can look you in the eyes and see what you're going through. Remember what we prayed at the beginning, that can know the every heartbeat that goes on inside you, every problem you're facing, every need that you are encountering, everything that you don't know yet is on the way, and to be able to speak into those things. The Word of God here isn't suggesting that the Holy Spirit is going to give you all knowledge under the sun. Students, you still need to study. He will not just give you all of the matriculant results. That's not what the Word is saying. But what he is saying is he will reveal all truth about his Father. He will reveal all truth about the relationship that you can have between him and his Father and Jesus, and how your life can be changed and transformed. He can also reveal to you the truth of Scripture. And so he can teach us. He can show us things. The word actually says that it's, when it says advocate here, it actually says allos, which is a guide, another helper. But what's also amazing is that Jesus says another one like me. So even Jesus is saying, he's not some weird wisp of smoke that doesn't have a personality or a personhood. He's like me, but a little bit different. And that's exactly what he is. He's the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is as much a person as the other two, and he's as much divine as the other two, but he is a different expression and personality of the same person. Okay, and so he is a person. But has a chair ever taught you? Has your computer ever taught you? No. The people in your life, your parents, your teachers, your pastor, your friends, they're the ones that teach you, they guide you, they give you information. And that's exactly who the Holy Spirit is. He teaches you, he guides you, he instructs you. It also says in Scripture that he was treated as a person. In Acts 5:3, the Word of God says, then Peter said, Aeneas, how is it that Satan has so filled with your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? And Hebrews 10:29 says, how much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who was treated as an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? The Word of God is making it clear that he can be treated like a person. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. Now, if I tell my dog, my water's multiplying, if I tell my dog that I'm coming home at 7 o'clock and I turn up at 7:10, she doesn't know that I'm late. And if I come the next day, she still doesn't really understand that I'm late. I can't lie to an animal. I can tell them, but a lie is understood. A lie is that I understand something, you're telling me something, and then that turns out to be false. So there has to be an acknowledgement, a receipt, an intimacy, and a dialect, and an ability to ratify and to take on board the things that you say to them. So the Holy Spirit is not a wisp of smoke that just disappears. He is a person that you can lie to, that you can be deceitful to, that you can insult even. I don't know about you, but I never want to be caught insulting or deceiving or lying to the Spirit of God. Like, that is not a life that I want. But the fact that we can reminds us that he is 100% a person. The other reason I know that he's a person is he talks to you and I. Has anybody here ever heard from God? Anybody here ever feel they've heard something from God? I would probably say with a 95% chance that it's the Holy Spirit that you heard that from. The fact is, the majority of the conversations that we have with God are actually from the Holy Spirit. He reveals something in Scripture, or He speaks, or He has a conscience within our heart. There's very few of us that have had a bounding voice from heaven where the curtains have opened and the clouds have parted and God has spoken to us audibly from where He is. And Jesus is still sitting next to the Father, so it's unlikely He's come back and visited you. So if you've heard from God, it's been the Holy Spirit. And just as I speak to my wife, as I speak to my friends, as I speak to those people in my life, because they are people, when you are engaging with the Holy Spirit and you're able to have a back and forth conversation, it's because He is a person and not a strange spirit that you need to avoid. Romans 8:26 says, and in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we won't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sights too deep for words. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet He also understands the desires of our heart, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, His holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan. So not only does He talk to us, but He also talks to God on our behalf. And earlier on, I shared scripture where it said that only the spirit of a thing can know the will and understanding of a thing. So the only way that we can really know the heart of God and what God would say about your life and the purpose and the will of your life is from the Holy Spirit, because He is one with God. So therefore, as He thinks, so does God think. As He feels about a situation, so does God. They're not having committee meetings where they have to put things to a vote. Like, do we think that Chris needs to live in Cape Town, not live in Cape Town? Show of hands. Okay, three for three, he's a go. Like, they're in perfect unity. And so, you know, if you feel the gentle stirring of the Spirit that says, go this way, then have confidence to know that Jesus and God are cheering you on as you make that decision. You don't then need to go, but Jesus, are you sure? No, He was sure, because He answered. But He speaks, and the Holy Spirit intercedes to God the Father on our behalf, because He knows you. And He knows what's about to come. He knows what you need to walk through. He knows what answers you need. He knows what mistakes you're about to make. And He begins to intercede for your sanctification and for your returning to Him and your repentance before you even necessarily have done something wrong, because He is God. So He is someone that we know is a person, because we can talk to Him and we have relationship with Him. The other thing about the Holy Spirit is He is divine. Okay, so He is not a lesser version of the divinity. It's not like He was the sad one that was left behind that has to put up with all of us. Like, He is as much God as God Himself. Okay, so He is divine. And how do we know this? Firstly, He is listed along with God the Father and Jesus. There's no other name that ever gets listed there. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Chris. God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Andre. No man is listed in that category. The only people listed in that category and that in that naming convention are the names ascribed to God. So He is divine. No less or no more than all the others, divine. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, where you hear the word of Jesus be referred to, or God be referred to, it's normally a bundle of all three. Because by this point, we have been taught as the readers and as the gospel people that get to live this out, that there are these three aspects to the Trinity that we, and now by now we understand who all three of them are. So very rarely from this in the New Testament do you really hear God just refer to God. It's often Father, Son, Holy Spirit, because we are supposed to understand them as one person, three persons, and interact with the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I mean? He is divine. He's also all-knowing. He knows everything. Like I said, he knows the thoughts and the will of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:10 to 11, it says, "These are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." He is all-knowing. He's also all-present. He is everywhere. Psalm 139, 7 to 10 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." You can't run from the Spirit. He is everywhere. He is everywhere. So church, make a decision tonight to embrace him and to invite him and to build a relationship with him, because he is everywhere. And there's a surety in that, that I don't know what's going to happen between here and the journey home, but the Spirit is already in my journey home. So he knows what's coming. He's also out of time, because he's everywhere to all people at all time. It's not even that he's here right now, but he's in all in moments of time. Everybody had access to him at every juncture of history at the same time. So he knows your future, he knows your past, he knows your present, he knows what's around the corner, but he knows. And if I had a friend who I thought knew everything, and we probably have those friends, hey, they're on speed dial, like, "Well, this person knows everything about relationships, I'm gonna ring them when I have a bad day with my spouse," or, "This person knows everything about this thing, I'm gonna ring them." Well, how often have you rung the Holy Spirit, who knows everything, everything? So we can also blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:31 to 32 says, "And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come." And blasphemy isn't something that is not a term that's ascribed really to anything else in all of the world and all of the vernacular. That's really a term that's only ever referred to when it refers to something of divinity. To blaspheme is to bring a divinity's name into disregard, or to speak against them, or to speak badly of them. So if we can blaspheme the Holy Spirit, then you want to believe that he is divine. But not only is he divine, as Graham said this morning, he's a sensitive one. And he's the one that when you blaspheme him, you may never be forgiven for that. And he is the one we're going to share in a minute, is with you at every juncture. So sometimes we do things to him that we don't even realize we're doing, because we don't realize he's with us. Because you see, my next point is, now that we understand all of that, do you get now that the Holy Spirit is a person and that he is divine? Show of hands, do you all understand that now? Good. So now you understand who he is, it changes you. On the day of Pentecost, we talk about it all the time, but it says in Acts 2:1-4, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house while they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Now, we normally jump to the end of that passage where it talks about the fact that we're going to have tongues released, and we are going to speak on that in further weeks. But I want you to understand the significance of the fire that rested on their heads. Because in Old Testament times, people could only speak to and engage with the person of God in the temple of God. And there were a lot of sacrifices, many of them needing to be burnt or fire, but that represented that every person in the room became the temple of God. That in that moment, it was no longer, we did not have to go to a place to receive from God. We didn't need to hear from a man of God or the priest of God to get a word from God. That in that moment, every person in the room became a temple of the living God. And I don't know what you've done in the last 7 days, but just take it seriously to understand that whatever you do in your sin and unholiness, the Holy Spirit is there with you. you're not avoiding. Just because you didn't pray to God in that moment doesn't mean the Holy Spirit wasn't there. Like, he lives inside you. He doesn't just get to leave. So in all of our sin and debauchery, all the things that we do and all the things that we shouldn't do, he is there inside you. And in the olden days, people that were unholy just burnt up in the, like, the priest could even die when he went into the Holy of Holies if he hadn't fully repented of all the sins upon his life. And so the Holy Spirit is that powerful and he's forgiving, but why would we defile him in such a way? We would never have taken prostitution into the temple and gone, look, God, look what I'm doing, but yet we behave like that every day with the Holy Spirit inside of us. And what's more, the Holy Spirit enables you to have different choices and to make different opportunities. And as Graham said this morning, he is your conscience. He is the person that will say, this isn't right. What are we doing here? You're built for more than this. And the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So the Holy Spirit lives inside you, and you are a temple. And as a result of that, church, we become priests. So there's a reason that we don't need to have somebody else do, there's not only elect few that can do baptisms, and you don't have to have the minister lead you in communion, is because we are all priests. Because if you carry the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are no different to Andre, myself, Leanne, Matthew. We all are people with the Holy Spirit inside of us. We're all temples of the living God. And there's no distinguishment. We may have different gifts for sure, and we may have different talents, absolutely. But the essence of who we are all temples of God. And therefore, we are all priests. We are all people that can speak and interact and hear from God. And we don't need a mediator. We don't need to go through somebody else. The mediator came, his name was Jesus. And then he left us the Holy Spirit. So don't now start going through people when you have direct access. There is nothing different about this building. You know, yes, let's come together and let's corporately worship, but you don't need to wait here for the miracle that you could have had on Monday if you just asked God in your quiet time. And don't wait for Friday evening to have Pastor Matthew share something to you at View City, when actually on Tuesday afternoon you can go, Lord, refine me. Holy Spirit, teach me. Don't make the Holy Spirit something that can only be accessed in times like this. Otherwise, what was the point of Jesus' death? We must just now be living in Old Testament times where we have a temple and we must go and speak and we must all get in a queue and we must do our rituals. All of that was removed. All of that was taken care of. You have direct access and we become priests. So today, church, you have a choice to make, because I'm telling you, I am a temple of God. I declare of myself that I am carrying inside of myself the Holy Spirit, the man of God, the person of God who has changed countless lives upon this earth, including my own. And I dare to say that I carry him inside of myself. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to shrink away. I'm not going to pretend I don't know him. I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm not going to allow the world to tell me that he's strange or weird or out of date or irrelevant. He is none of those things. He is a wonderful person. He's a person that the person that I look to the most, Jesus said that was going to come, was going to help us and was going to teach us and was going to guide us. And he is divine. And his divinity changes me, church. His divinity has changed me. It has burnt things off my life that I never thought possible, because he changed me. He has been able to teach in me things that I never thought possible. Anybody who knows me, when I have any inch of patience, that is but by the Spirit of God. Before I knew Jesus, I didn't even know what that patience was. What are you talking about? Am I in hospital? Like, I had no idea what patience meant. Everything was now, rush. Even if it was wrong, let's just do it. So every time I operate with a little bit of patience, every time I operate with a little bit of kindness, every time I operate with a little bit of goodness, that is the Spirit inside of me. Every time that I do something like this and I get to speak or teach, that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is inside of me. And so today, church, I need you to make a decision. If you fall into the category of person that maybe doesn't use him at all, just thinks that he's irrelevant and you don't understand him, then today apologize to him and say, I'm coming for you. I want to talk to you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to accept that you are inside me. And this is a daily thing, hey? Because we make mistakes and we all fall short of the glory of God. But the goodness of God is that we can come back to him and say, I'm so sorry yesterday, Lord, that I wasn't talking to you, that I was acting like I was a temple shrine to prostitutes, but I wasn't living like the temple of God. You can apologize and move back and repent and get back into alignment. But every day, wake up and make a commitment to say, Holy Spirit, I want to hear from you. Holy Spirit, I want to have my life changed. If anyone in this room hasn't heard from God for the last 2, 4, 5 months, then repent and come back and say, Holy Spirit, I've stopped listening to you, because I can promise you I heard from God this afternoon and this morning and yesterday and last week, because he is talking all of the time. And if he's not talking to you, if you're not hearing from him, that says more about you and your ears and your heart than it does about him, because he has never stopped speaking. And how do I know that? Because the word of God says that his role is to teach us all things. And so either God is lying and God is no longer teaching, or he is teaching and he doesn't have learners. And so, church, please, 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 please make sure, remember that he is the one that can be offended and grieved and blasphemed against, that can never be forgiven. So get in step and start listening to the Holy Spirit. Can you all stand where you are for me, church? And there's a group of people here today, and actually, you know, you're going, well, that's all well and good, Chris, but actually, I don't even know who Jesus is. Let me tell you who Jesus is in like a minute. He was divine. He had never done a thing wrong in his life, and he stepped down out of heaven to walk on this earth, and he was punished a criminal's death so that you and I can and will be forgiven for the sins that we have perpetrated. And we deserve that death. We deserve to hang on that cross. We deserve to be punished, because some of the things that we have done are wicked, and they deserved death and they deserved punishment. But Jesus hung there, perfect, blemish free, never done a thing wrong in his life. And he hung there carrying your sin on his shoulders, bearing the scars on his back for your transgressions. And he hung there so that you can sit here now. And I'm sure your heart is pounding, and I'm sure you're starting to go, what is this thing that Chris is saying? But that is the Holy Spirit. That is God beginning to speak to you and address you and say, this is for you, my boy. This is for you, my girl. But there has to come a point where you make a decision to say, Jesus, I accept you. I accept what you did for me. And as you say those words out loud and you believe it in your heart, the Bible says that you are saved and that you are sanctified, and that you then will be entitled to the same rights and privileges as me. Doesn't matter whether you don't know anything about what those are, in that moment, you are no different to me. You are saved by grace. And so with everyone's eyes closed and with all Christians praying for your friends and for your family that are in the room or watching online, or those that you know that don't know Jesus, can you be praying for them? But if you know that you need to today give your life to Jesus, then on the count of three, will you please put up your hands? Remember that he loves you, that there's never any time that you can do anything that would stop his love. You don't deserve it, but he gives it anyway. 1, 2, 3. And Lord, you see the hearts of people in this room and online who are putting you first today, who are coming back to you maybe for the first time or a second time. And I pray, Lord, that you meet them where they are and that you look after them. But can everybody say after me, Jesus, I thank you that you are the Son of the living God, that you died and rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. And I commit my life into your hands today. I trust you. I worship you. And I will follow you for all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everyone.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chris. Kicking off our series. We are starting the series. You guys take your seats quickly. And I want to encourage you guys to to join us on this series. Of course, we're not only going to be speaking about who's the Holy Spirit, we're going to speak about the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then finally, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, anyone need more strength? Anyone wake up and go, I'd love to be a stronger person? Well, when you pray in tongues, the Bible says you edify yourself. Graham mentioned this morning, it says you, it's like in the Greek, to build the house. And a lot of us are staying away from all that we have access to in the Spirit. And we're living sort of weaker than we could be living. So if we sort of praying in tongues, living in God's Spirit, we'll be edifying ourselves. And Chris Hodges says this so well. He says, the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. He just makes me better than me. Okay, he actually helps me to overcome in areas where I'm weak, and that's why we can do exceedingly abundantly above according to his work within us. We can see that happen, and of course, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. How do I get my strength? How do I get my strength from God? By praying in tongues, by being in the Spirit, being edified. So I encourage you guys to go on the journey with us. Remember, if you are new, your next step is Growth Track. That's going to be the first Tuesday of this month. So I encourage you to take the next step, and of course, baptisms as well. You'll see all our links on our website and on our social media. There are links to sign up. Just like you book your seat at church, you can book your seat for baptisms, for Growth Track, for child dedications. You'll see all the links there. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to end the service. God, I just thank you for everyone here. I pray that you would make yourself so real to everyone. I pray, Holy Spirit, that everyone would have an encounter with you this week, that they'd hear from you this week. Everyone in the building, I pray you bless their week ahead in Jesus' name. Everyone believed it said? Amen. Awesome. Be blessed, guys. Have a good week.